Coming up next, five jobs that won't exist in 10 years. And then let's go to the future, jobs that will exist by 2030. And then unbelievable job titles and what they pay. And of course, your calls, and it starts now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and in life. Super specifically, helping you make more money and experience more meaning. Raising your income, raising your impact. Life is too short to be working just because it's a paycheck. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in for a comment or a question. Five jobs that won't exist in 10 years. I love this kind of stuff. I love futurists. I love the predictions. Not always true, but it is something to pay attention to. Why? Before I list the jobs, you need to know the why. Automation in technology advances. This is your reason. These five jobs are not going to exist in 10 years. I think some of them are gone well before. You can weigh in. Here we go. Number one, retail cashier. In the automation age, cashiers may soon become obsolete. I got to tell you something, Alex. I can't remember the last time I went to a cashier at my neighborhood Kroger. I'll tell you where I do still go to the cashier, and that's Costco. Because I got two teenage boys, folks. I buy enough food to feed a football team. And when you get that many items, I'm not interested in self-scanning. So maybe at Costco you'll see that. But I think Amazon Go, Starbucks are making strides in all of this. You know, you come in and you do it yourself. Number two, telemarketers. The FCC, Federal Communications Commission, revealed that consumers received an estimated 2.4 billion robocalls. Now, if you're not familiar with that term, that just means it's all computer-driven. It's a software. The phone numbers are in there, and it's just a computer dialing you up. Consumers received an estimated 2.4 billion robocalls per month in 2016. Internet-based phone systems are quickly taking over. So the telemarketers, which, can I just tell you something? I would love to meet somebody who really enjoys a telemarketer. Now, they're there. But I had one of these jobs in college during a Christmas break. I don't think I've ever told you all this, you folks out there. Alex, I did some robocalls for J. Crew in college. Yeah, just to earn a little extra money so I could go to Wendy's or take a young lady out on a date. I got to tell you something. I lasted two nights. I hated it. Ugh. All right. Number three, travel agent. Consumers have become more independent over the years in booking and planning trips. Most travel websites can do everything a travel agent can do while providing the additional function of comparing costs to get the best deal. Boy, that's true. We were looking recently at vacation packages, trying to figure out something. And it's rare that you actually get a resort or a hotel that pops up in the search before you get Orbitz and Hotels.com and all the different whatever they are. Expedia.com. I couldn't help myself. We've all seen those commercials, right? So, I mean, this is really true. It's just like one size fits all. Next, I can't even believe this made the list. And because it's like, do people still do this? Newspaper delivery. I know they do. This is one that I'm going to say doesn't make it 2 years. Forget 10 years. 2 years from now, anybody buying a hard copy of a paper? Now, full disclosure. If USA Today delivered a hard copy of their paper, I would still get it in my driveway. Back in 2014, right before I moved back here to Tennessee, I canceled it because we were moving, and then shortly thereafter, they just started it. I used to get it in the driveway every day. Not anymore. It's not going to happen. Now, okay, I'm glad you put this one last, Alex, because I need to spend the most time on this one because I'm willing to debate this one. If you have an opinion, folks, you can jump in the chat room send me an email, ask at kencomo.com. Here we go. This is from monster.com. They're saying, Nathan, I can't believe this. I'm having a hard time getting it out. You're a football guy. Professional referees? No need for referees in 10 years? With leaps in video technology providing undeniable slow motion replays, I get that. The job of a referee has led to an onslaught of fan frustration and second guessing their decision making. I disagree. It's not about technology. It's about horrible refereeing. I don't like referees, but they're needed. I mean, I got to tell you, for all the boneheaded calls, how do we get from a disputed play call with no referees involved and then we get to the slow motion? I mean, I really, we don't have time to unpack all this, but I got to tell you, I don't know how that happens. You know, we need some human there, or after all, it's just the opposing coaches are arguing and then it gets into constant replay. I don't know. Nathan? You believe that in 10 years we won't have referees, professional referees? How does that hit you?
I'd be down for it. I think that would be a good idea to have it all gone and have robots making the calls so it's accurate 100% of the time. No one can complain anymore.
Oh, so robots. So you got a sideline robot that's like zooming in on everything. Okay, all right. Because I will tell you this. As a football lover, I feel like we've already gotten to the place where we have too many replays. On the NFL level and the college level. So that's very interesting. So there are five jobs that won't exist in 10 years. And this is via monster.com. I'm curious, what say you? What say you, the viewing audience? What do you think? What do you think? In the chat room, let's go. I got one that popped in my mind right away. And this is kind of sad. But I don't think we're going to see library staffs. I think everything is going to go technology-wise with books and everything. I think that's going to become a thing. That's kind of sad. You know? I don't know. Tell you one thing we're never going to get rid of. And I was thinking of this morning. Traffic cops. There's no computer, no robot, in my opinion, is ever going to be as good as a good old-fashioned policeman out there going... Right, if you're in the listening audience, I'm doing the old white glove treatment. By the way, crossing guard the other day, full on, fluorescent yellow gloves. The vest, I understand. This lady went with the matching gloves with the fluorescent vest, and I got to tell you, she had a whistle too. Very impressive. This is someone taking their job very seriously, and I applaud her. I mean, there was no question as to what we were supposed to do. So, you know, whatever it is, things are moving on. All right. That music means I got to get out of here, but we're not moving. We're not going anywhere. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the news. The bump there. I like that. That gives me a little bit of juice. I like it. I like it a lot. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Hey, I want to remind you that you can follow me and connect with me on social media. At Ken Coleman on Instagram, Ken Coleman Show on Facebook, at Ken Coleman on Twitter as well. Is anybody on Twitter anymore? I just don't know. I feel like less and less people are on Twitter. A couple things I want to get to in the news. Let's get to it right now. All right. LinkedIn is where we're going to start. 85% of jobs that will exist in 2030 haven't been invented yet. 80. Now, that is a phenomenal piece of data. I mean, just think about that. So before I dive into this, I want you to grab that headline, and I also want you to have this thought in your head. I am going to have to adapt, and companies will have no other choice but to help me adapt. I'll unpack that thought in a second. I just want to kind of drop that out there, and I'm going to come back to it. According to a new report published by Dell and the Institute for the Future, a bunch of tech, business, and academic experts from around the world joined in the study. And they basically have come up with this idea that 85% of our current jobs, 85% of the jobs that will exist in 2030 haven't been invented yet. Here's a direct quote. Dell Technologies said in the report, the pace of change will be so rapid that people will learn in the moment using new technologies such as augmented reality and virtual reality. The ability to gain new knowledge will be more valuable than the knowledge itself. Whoa. Now, let's just pause. I want to make sure we don't... I'm not just going to read through that and you just get whiplash. This is a significant statement if it's marginally true. All right, let me unpack it. First, the pace of change will be so rapid, people will learn in the moment. That means it's not even going to be the traditional model of training that we've come to know. It's just there are changes that are made on the fly. And from technology standpoint, they will kind of show you, oh, this change, here's what you need to do. It's almost like a video game telling you what the next stage is, what you're doing. Now, the second piece in this statement is the ability to gain new knowledge will be more valuable than the knowledge itself. Now, let me just unpack what that's saying. It's back to what I teased. An attitude of adaptability is going to be crucial. You'll have the ability to learn. Humans have the ability to learn. And you better be in an area of talent, though. Because if you're, let me tell you something, if you're in an area of marginal talent, then your ability to learn and perform is limited. Let me explain. And I've made fun of myself before on this, but I'm not kidding you when I tell you that this part of the brain, which, by the way, is it the left side or the right side of the brain that is connected to math? Do we know? Does anybody in there know? Amanda, you're amazing. She always knows this stuff. By the way, if my family of five ever goes on Family Feud, I'm going to tell one of the kids they have to stay home, and Amanda, you're going to join us. We'll call you Cousin Amanda. She's got the trivia. She knows. So the right side of my brain is almost completely dark, and I'm not even kidding. So if I put myself in a position in the future, okay, let's go to 2030, and I'm in an area where the mathematical, the logical, you know, kind of that kind of computing is a part of the gig. Folks, I've put myself in a deficit from day one. Then as technology advances and this learn on the go, let me tell you what's going to happen. I won't keep up pace. There's nothing wrong with admitting that. There's a reason why they have honors math classes, so that the Ken Coleman Juniors of the world don't end up in the class, right? I can't keep up. I have marginal talent. That's what's going on. All right, moving on. In other words, the message is loud and clear. Get ready for a lifetime of skills training and retraining. You're going to be reskilling. Like, you're just going to be all the time. So let me give you an example. Preparing for a job that doesn't exist yet is compounded by the fact that students entering a four-year engineering program in 2018 may not have the skills that the industry is looking for when they graduate in 2022. Folks, you heard it right here. This is what's going on with what we're seeing in higher education, where it's becoming less and less relevant. It's not knocking higher education. It's just, folks, these education institutions can't keep pace with real-world technology. Can you imagine a person who graduates with an engineering degree this year in 2022, what that's going to look like in 2030? How relevant is it going to be if they don't get any on-the-job training? This is what we're talking about. So why do I share that? You better start getting used to change. You better start getting really clear on what you're good at, that talent area. It's going to matter more than ever, because the jobs of the future and the way we work of the future is going to be this constant leveling up. And if you don't have the right amount of clay, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. All right, switching gears, another story that I'm all over. This is CNN. Teachers are leaving, and few people want to join the field. We have two massive storms. Did you ever see the movie The Perfect Storm with George Clooney? Gosh, what a good movie. Based loosely on a true story. And the concept, if you've never seen the movie, is that these fishermen up in the Northeast, they get out, they're trying to beat a storm system, and they go out and they're doing the thing, trying to catch the fish, and unbeknownst to them, another storm system comes on, and the two storm systems merge to become a super storm, and they lost their life. They called it the perfect storm, right? And so okay, well, these are two storms. Teachers leaving because the system is broken and it is chewing them up and spitting them out. Teachers are leaving. And then as a result, the word's getting out. People are hearing from and seeing the stories. And then they don't want to join the field. So we've got two storms that have now joined together, and it is creating a massive, massive deficit, massive problem in education. Lauren Reynolds started crying when she found out her university was shuttering the early childhood and elementary education program that she was in. One of the last three students in the program. She's graduating in the spring. Oklahoma City University officials said, hey, we're suspending the program after a worrying pattern of declining enrollment. This is a part of a national trend. U.S. teacher prep programs are also reporting shrinking enrollment numbers. This is speaking to the issue of people aren't wanting to get in. As more and more teachers retire and get out, we need to have others fill that role. And right now, the numbers aren't looking good. There were already existing problems. Focus on universal testing scores, not being able to deal with discipline, tons of paperwork, micromanaging from the federal government to the state government to school boards down to the teachers. This was already a big problem. Recently on social media, I had a teacher jump in the comment section when I posted a message that said, the public education system is broken. We are creating test takers, not pathfinders. Teachers jumped in like crazy. One lady said straight up, they need to take the handcuffs off of us. Stop treating us like we're children. Let us do what we were trained to do. Whew. The pandemic made it worse. Low pay, little regard from the communities, growing numbers of school shootings, legislative requirements about what and how they got to teach. Educators are saying, I didn't sign up for this. I'm not doing it. We got a problem. It's time to wake up. Parents, we're going to have to support teachers. Administrators, we're going to have to talk to our legislators. This is an area of vital importance. We got to do something about it. What are you prepared to do? I'm going to be beating the drum and sounding the alarm. Join me. This is The Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to The Ken Coleman Show. Folks, we have to make a correction. Amanda, the associate producer of The Ken Coleman Show, who I rely on so much, I stand on her shoulders. She said during the break, Ken, I need to make a correction. What's going on?
Technically, some people say that it is the left side of the brain that controls math.
Oh.
However, mathnasium.com
sounds says, legitimate.
Yes, says that it's actually both, technically, because to do math requires creativity, which is controlled by the right side of the brain.
Yeah, great. So in Amanda's desire to be correct, she's now fully discouraged me because based on that analysis, a large portion of my brain is dark.
Mine too.
If it's left and right, I'm working on 25% brain matter, and yet you people still watch the show and listen to the show. Thank you very much. Okay, good. Thank you for the correction. But I also might point out now that I'm not so sure you're going to be Cousin Amanda on Family Feud. I don't know. I don't know. I would reserve. I don't know. I want to reserve my judgment here to see if there's another ringer.
I'll be waiting on pins and needles.
Thank you. Thank you, Amanda. You are amazing. Okay. There's been a lot of buzz lately about Phil from ZipRecruiter. I'm seeing a lot of thank you Phils going around the internet. Here's what I've seen. Liliana G said, super thankful for Phil at ZipRecruiter. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. He made my whole job search easier, and I got the job. That Phil sounds like someone you want in your corner, especially for a better and easier job search. What will Phil help you discover as it relates to a great job? Find out at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. All right. 844-747-2577 is the number. We'll get to the phones in a little bit, but first, what is now becoming one of my favorite things to do on the show, unbelievable job titles and what they pay. Now, why do we highlight this? It's entertaining. I mean, I full disclosure, I find it to be extremely entertaining, but I will tell you, for those of you who are going, I just can't think of something I want to do, Ken, I'm struggling. And I always tell you folks the same thing. Take the Get Clear Career Assessment, get a purpose statement, and use that as a high-level job description. Go look. Go look. But you got to have an idea what you're looking for. And some of you just go, Ken, I need to make some more money to get out of debt so that I can then do the thing I want to do. So this is like a really informative segment. Here we go. This made me happy. I'll explain in a second. Here's the job title. Rodeo Clown. Now, this was not a surprise to me. Many of the ones we've gone over, I had no idea. Like Snake Milker, still all time. But there's the Rodeo Clown. We've all seen these brave guys. Some of you go, that guy's nuts. Ah, he's a little crazy, yes. But you talk about brave, putting yourself in that situation. And by the way, when I see these guys on TV and I look at this picture, if I was that guy, do you realize I'd be wrapped up like the Michelin Man? They don't have a lot of padding on. I would be wrapped so thick. You know those pads they put around the goalposts in football? I'd have those wrapped around my entire body if that was me. Okay, here's the deal. We know what they do. They distract the bull after the cowboy gets bucked off, hoping to protect the cowboy. By the way, these bulls are between 2,000 and 4,000 pounds. The certifications and education, a rodeo clown school. They have a trade school, if you will, teaches you how to do this. I would love to know how long those schools last and how much they cost. That's intriguing to me. What are your skills? You need some speed, agility, wits, humor, and courage. No kidding. The pay, now this is fantastic. The pay ranges from $40,000 to $90,000 dollars a year. Wow. Or $100 to $500 per show. Jobmonkey.com. So this could be a decent little side hustle. Although, let's say you're knocking down, let's say you've got a regular 9-to-5 white collar job. And you do this on Friday night, Saturday night, and the bull gets you pretty good. And you're limping in, giant black eye. And they're like, what happened to you? Well, I'm a rodeo clown. Do they believe you? I don't know. All right, next. Is this real? Come on, Alex. Human lab rat? That's all. Look at this poor lady. That's an awful thing to be called. Human lab rat. Now, Nathan, don't let this picture go too soon because I'm noticing something here. It feels like this picture was taken in 1987. Look at the dude's hair. Look at the doctor's hair, and he's rocking a stash. These are things that I don't miss. And then look at the hair on the nurse. That's fantastic. Human lab rats lend their bodies to science for various trials and testing. I know this exists. It just makes me nervous. There are clinical trials and observational studies that can be held by researchers. Medical trials typically pay more due to the length of study and their invasiveness. Oh my gosh. Can I just tell you something? That word makes me nervous. You wouldn't even have to give me context. You just walk it to me and go, invasive, and I would get nervous. Necessary education, none. necessary skills, a specific medical condition that benefits from the treatment or the medication of the trial. The pay, $31,000 to $95,000 a year. This information from ZipRecruiter.com. And then, finally, oh boy, I'm really going to have to be careful as I walk through this one, Joe. Professional cuddler. A professional cuddler. Professional cuddlers or professional snugglers. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm going to stop right there. To me, there's a difference between a cuddle and a snuggle. You with me, Nathan? He's laughing. I think there is. Wait a second. Because this says, now, folks, this is from jobmonkey.com. Alex is pulling this. There we go. It's already creeping me out, man. All right? Because I got to tell you, that's a cuddle, but that's one move or two away from a snuggle. That right there. It's a cuddle right now, but look at this guy. Yeah, well, yeah, dude, you know what? You know what? I love watching MMA. In one move, she chokes that guy out. So you know what? You have to know that move because I don't want to take us too far down the rabbit hole, but this could get creepy fast. I think it's a little weird. You need some relationship. Okay, here we go. Professional cuddlers or professional snugglers get paid to intimately snuggle and cuddle with complete strangers. This form of touch therapy is completely platonic, no funny business. Well, I know that's what you say. I know that's what's intended. But you want to talk about workplace hazards? Look at this guy. Look at this guy in the picture. We don't know what he's thinking. That could get tricky. I got to tell you, I'm not a fan. And listen, this speaks to the fact that people need human touch. This is one of those things that means well, but I doubt ends very well because of that, all the stuff I've brought up here. Certifications, education, none. There are strict rules and guidelines. There is a licensing program that's in the works. Necessary skills, cuddling skills, and safety conscious. Yeah, you need to be a black belt. I hope that woman's a black belt because if we go from, she thinks it's cuddling. If he starts to think it might turn into snuggling, she got to do a little karate chop. Right there. That's where she goes to the chokehold, Nathan. This guy gets the wrong idea. Boom. He's tapping out. By the way, if this is so important, it shouldn't happen in that environment. That looks like it's on a bed. Maybe they should do this in the middle of the mall, like the mall massage. Keeps a lot of the creepiness away. Yeah, you can cuddle and snuggle, but there's going to be 2,000 people around at any one given time. I'm just saying, I'm trying to protect people here. Man of the people. We know how it works. Okay, what do they make? $40 to $80 an hour. This is, again, from jobmonkey.com. $40 to $80 per hour to be a cuddler or a snuggler. I don't know, folks. Don't tell me there's not work out there, though. This proves it. But I would rather be a snake milker than a professional cuddler. That's just me. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work so you can win in life, helping you make more money, experience more meaning in your work. You think about how much time you spend at work. I want you to max out your income, but also max out your influence. Yeah, think about that. Income impact. That's what we're talking about. 844-747-2577. Lancaster, Pennsylvania is where we go. Adam is there. Adam, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm living the dream, Adam. What are you doing?
Not much. Just excited to be in life right now, you know?
Good. So how can I help?
All right. So I am in a little bit of a interesting situation. I'm currently in a coordinator role. My intent was to take this current job and move on within a year or two into more of a manager role. I've been in this role for about 6 months, and there's a company that I've had my eye on for a couple of years. And then just this month, the manager position that I've kind of had my eyes on actually opened up. So since I already knew people inside the door, it was a great interview. I thought I nailed it, and turns out that they offered the job to another individual purely based on experience, which was totally fair. I'm 24 years old. My intent was to build up the experience for this job. I just don't think I was quite there yet to compete enough for the manager position. They still wanted me on their team, and so they offered me a position under the manager, which would kind of be a lateral move to where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. The interesting part, though, was that they offered the salary that I had originally requested for the manager position.
Wow.
So the money is enticing. It's about a 30% increase from my current salary now.
Okay.
I respect the company, but I'm just a little bit nervous to make a lateral move without advancing my career.
Yes.
I still think I would like to go into the manager role someday.
Yep.
But just kind of need some help talking through that.
Yeah, I love this. You're thinking absolutely through all the right things. I think you're on top of it. And you've already identified the question you have to answer. And I'm guessing you've already answered it and you want my take on it, but I'll ask you anyway. If you take this job offer, which is lateral professionally right now, but it's a big bump financially, in the short term, it's lateral. But does it give you a better opportunity than staying where you are to advance into where you want to go? Whether or not the position you applied for as manager, it's already filled. Maybe that doesn't open anytime soon, but just moving over to this company, does it in some way maybe give you a better angle, or does it move you further down the road anyway when you look at it long term, even if it's lateral right now?
Yeah, I believe it would.
Why?
I think if nothing else, just
give me the reasons.
I would learn from another leader. And I think my contact with this leader would be closer than it is with my current leader now.
Great. You've just identified what I think is a very practical reason for taking it. Here's my point. You're so mature, and I think you're emotionally really solid on this offer, that you're already not allowing the money bump to entice you. You're really looking at this for the right reasons. But to me, it's pretty simple. If there's one or two positives, you already give me one positive, that will give you better experience, make you more valuable, maybe give you a different angle, or as I said, fast forward you just a little bit, and we put that on top of the 30% bump, I think it's a no-brainer. The only thing I would double check is the culture. You've already interviewed. You know, if you've got some other questions about the culture, the way the team works, the company culture as a whole, you know, talk to people who already work there. Find a way to talk to them. There's a way to find people that work there and get a good read on the culture, how they treat people. Is there a track record of them developing and promoting people? Those would be some questions I'd want you to get clear answers to. But if you get good answers, then I would do it based on what we just walked through.
Okay. One of my concerns with it at this point is I haven't met the individual who would be my manager.
Yep.
I have an appointment to meet with him on Monday.
I asked
to meet with him just so I can see who I'd be working with.
Yes.
Do you have any tips or advice on, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to take control of the meeting, but I want to ask pointed questions to see who I would be under.
Yeah. I've got some questions for you. You got something to write with?
I do. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to give you some specific questions. Okay. Oh, I got to do it fast. I'm running out of time. You ready? I'm going to give these fast and Amanda will give these to you. What's your leadership style? What kind of culture do you want to bring to this team? Ask them those two questions. Those answers should be very revealing. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Ryan, who joins us in Las Vegas. Ryan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
How's it going, Ken?
I'm living the dream, bro. How you doing?
Oh, man, beautiful out here. Can't complain.
All right, pipe down. It's cold here, and I'm tired of it being cold. I'm going out to Phoenix soon. Yeah, I what's the weather there right now?
We had a nice, crisp 70 degrees, no wind.
All right. All right. So how can I help?
So, Ken, my question today is actually a two-parter, slightly. So it's actually in reference to my wife. So we've been chatting kind of, you know, about her career. She's been a teacher for a few years. And, you know, number one, she's been reevaluating and you know, trying to figure out if she needs to stay in the classroom, you know, stay within the school setting, but not in a classroom, or maybe step away from education altogether. So the first question is, you know, how do we tell if it's burnout or whether it's lack of passion? And then to add on to that, if it is lack of passion, how can I you know, help my wife figure out what her passion is?
Yeah, I love it. I love this. It's really, if we figure out that she doesn't have passion, keep in mind that is going to lead to burnout.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
absolutely. As I, you know, I define passion as work that you love to do. You look forward to it. You get lost in it when you're in the middle of it, and you long to do it again. And so we're talking about high emotion and high devotion around this. So if she doesn't have that for teaching, then that is going to contribute to burnout, because you're just like, oh, I just keep doing this. There's no love for it. And as a result, she doesn't see any kind of missional result to it either. That's passion and mission. And boy, that can eat you up pretty quick. So why does she want to get out?
I think it's a combination of things, you know, really not looking forward to the workday.
But why?
You know, and I guess that's a great question. You know, it's more of a combination of stress, you know, factors she really can't control, you know, until the kids come into the classroom. I think it's just a matter of just a combination of stress.
Yeah. So this is happening like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers are leaving the profession in droves. I'm talking to them on social media. You know, some are saying the hours are incredibly long because of all the paperwork, all of the extra stuff that the government leaders and school boards are putting on us. We're being told what to teach and how to teach it. All this extra paperwork. We can't control discipline. We don't actually focus on teaching the subject at all. It's all about teaching for the standardized tests at the end of the year to prove that the school system is teaching kids what the government said they're supposed to teach.
Sure.
But that's what I'm hearing. Because she's not on the phone with me, what you have to do is just sit and listen to her and go, hey, what are the specific reasons that you want to leave? So we got to get that. Now, here's why we do this. Once she reveals what's going on, why she wants to leave, it's going to become clear, is it because she doesn't love the work of instructing? Or is it because she's not able to do the work of instructing, or the work of instructing is getting completely covered up by all this other crap I just mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
Because here's why. If we find out that what's burning her out and what's making her want to leave and what's identifying as I have no passion is if she's spending most of her time doing stuff that has nothing to do with instruction and teaching. And if you were to say to her, let me ask you this, after she gives you the list of reasons why she wants to leave and make her be specific, then pull the old Ken Coleman move on her and go, what if we removed all of those things? Would you want to leave? And then we find out what's really going on. If she says, no, I wouldn't. If you removed all that crap, no, I'd be happy. I would love teaching kids. Then we figure out she's not lost her passion. What's happened is she doesn't get to do the thing that she loves. She's being limited, and thus she's like, actually, I'm not even experiencing passion. No wonder she doesn't want to be there. That would be your answer on that one. But if she said, after you said, what if we removed all those negatives? Would you still want to do it? And she goes, nope. And you could go, why? She could go, well, I thought that I wanted to to teach in that environment. I don't. So then we ask her this. Do you want to teach, but in a different environment? Or do you not want to teach at all? Because now all of a sudden we start to go, okay, maybe she wants to instruct people, but she wants to instruct adults. She wants to train adults, maybe in a corporate setting. You know, or maybe she wants to be on the university level, which is a whole different experience. Am I making sense to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm transferring this to you. You're going to have to do a version of what I just did for you. Now, there's one other thing I want her to do. I want you to have her go to my website, kencoleman.com,
mm-hmm.
and I want her to take the Should I Quit My Job quiz. Now, here's why. It's a very simple quiz. Take her about 5 minutes. But if it spits out she's in the right role in the wrong place, that's going to help further help you show her you're doing something that you enjoy. You teaching and instructing something you enjoy, but you're doing it in the wrong environment. Make sense?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But let's say that she gets you're doing the wrong thing in the right place. She goes, oh, I like the school system and the education, but a teacher's not the move. Maybe it's got, I don't think that's going to be her result. The other result that I think she might get is she's doing the wrong thing in the wrong place, which means she kind of chose teaching for some reason, thought maybe that's it. She gets into it and it's not really what she wants to do. Maybe she wants to influence and communicate and care for others in a different way. It's going to be one of those things. And then based on her results, I'd have her take the Get Clear Career Assessment, which I'm going to give to you. So Amanda, let's give Ryan a link and a code. Ryan, will you have her take my Get Clear Career Assessment?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's free. And I'm going to give it to you for free. Everybody else is going to pay. But unless you call the show, then I'll give it to you too, folks. That's the secret. But anyway, here's the deal. I want her to get a clear report on what she does best, what work she loves, and what results she wants to create. That's what the assessment does. And it fills out that detailed information into a purpose statement so she can see a real high-level job description. I think that's going to also give her more clarity. Make sense?
I agree.
So it's very possible that she's burned out and she still has a passion for teaching. But it is possible that because she never had a passion for it, she's also burned out for that reason too. It could be that the environment itself is burning her out. It's
sure.
Somewhere in that range. And I think you just being so positive and listening to her and letting her share this and then let her take the Should I Quit My Job quiz and then move her right into the assessment. And also, while I'm giving stuff away, the assessment is helping her determine or actually confirm her mountaintop professionally. But my new book, From Paycheck to Purpose, it helps people move through the seven stages and actually what's my path to actually move from teaching to something else if that is in fact. Hey, so I'm going to give you the book as well, okay?
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet. All right, man, I appreciate the call. You're a good husband. And again, we talked about this earlier in the program. Here's a real life example. His wife, a teacher, is burned out, slam out. What we got to do is figure out what's causing the burnout. If it's environmental, then we go, hey, I'm not supposed to stop teaching or instructing. I'm supposed to move into a different way of teaching. If it is, I never liked it, I never loved it, we go, okay, I need to figure out what it is I do love and move on. And again, folks, the Get Clear Career Assessment, 20 minutes or less, unbelievable clarity, self-awareness, fills out a purpose statement for you at a high level so you can go, this is like a job description. I can now go look for this, dive deeper, and figure out what's out there for me. And then the book, From Paycheck to Purpose, a great companion. Get the bundle for $40 at kencoleman.com. Compass is the assessment. The guide and map up the mountain is the book. Go get it. Helping so many people, and it'll help you too. Takes out all the fear because it takes the unknown away. So there you go. All right, don't go anywhere. For our video audience, stay with us. We got another caller. For our audio audience, thank you for being with us. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.